she's 40 loving dickheads, dreaming about a premiership cup. We love our clubs, but they never win two flags in 100 years. That shit house, if you think we'll be insightful, clever, or just well researched, we're here to say that's not the case. We'll just go out and wing it. We are two guys, one cup.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the sixth annual, Two Guys, One Cup, Chunk Time AFL Podcast Crossover Edition. We are coming to you from Melbourne's Wayne Jackson Studios, Sydney's Rod Carter Studios, and the newly commissioned Byron Bay Luke Hemsworth Studios, sponsored by AstraZeneca. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who is disgusted no one took up Basil Zemplis's idea call to arms yesterday at the grand final. It's Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. G'day, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on this glorious Melbourne afternoon. And can I say, it would only have been made a shit ton better. I can go outside and I can picnic with one friend and I'm not allowed to drink, but that wouldn't have mattered if the people of Perth at the 21 minute mark of the first quarter had stood up and done what Basil said and actually stood up and applauded and made all of us on the Eastern Seaboard forget about all our problems. That's all Basil wanted us to do, was to make some people happy, and the people, the sand molesters of WA, wouldn't take up that call to arms, and now I feel like shit and it's all on them. And he had so many things to do. After the game, he wanted the Melbourne players to stand up and say how disgusting homeless people are. And then he wanted Luke Beveridge in his speech to really talk down transgender people and really push his thoughts on that. And none of them took it up. And it sullies the grand final. Forget that Melbourne won it. I don't even care about that. I'm just more worried that people of WA, they don't care about us on the Eastern Seaboard. How are you?
So if you don't know the full story, so at the 20-minute mark and the 21-second mark, Basil Zemplis wanted the fans at the grand final to stand for a minute and clap to remember the fallen members of the football society who couldn't get to the grand final. It was absolutely incredible. And no one did it, right? Because I don't think I had to stand up too loud last night, but no one actually did.
And the reason they probably didn't do it is because they were watching a really fucking good game of footy and it was a grand final. And so they went, hey, I know Basil said to do this, but why don't we just stick to watching this great game that's right unfolding in front of us?
It's funny how such an unlikable person can become the mayor of a town.
Whoa. Wait, who says he's unlikable? That's disgusting. Well,
the comments that people are putting up here on the Zoom call. And there's a lot of unlikable comments right here. Hey, can we bring our next guest, Charlie?
Yes, please.
Charlie Clawson. As sad, this is the introduction he wanted me to give. As sad as he is for his friend, he is glad the Saints have been able to drag the Bulldogs down to their level. Please welcome Charlie Clawson.
Hello. It's great to be here. Can you see me?
Yes.
Hello? Yep.
Oh, great. Sorry, I wasn't sure. I wasn't unmuted before. I felt like I was in like a movie where I was dead because you're all talking about me, you know, and I'm like, guys, I'm here. But I think you had to unmute me. Look, I've got to say, I had two overriding feelings from the grand final. One was like, you know, some joy for the D's fans, quickly followed by bitterness, and then a great deal of relief that I don't have to change the opening theme song for Two Guys, One Cup, because if the Bulldogs suddenly had won two flags, that literally ruins our entire theme song. I'm going to have to re-record that. And also just the sense that, you know, maybe it's not that the Saints have to win a flag, but just knowing that no one else can win a flag again, like maybe the Bulldogs was just an aberration, knowing that that was just like, it was just a fluke that it happened in 2016 makes me feel a lot better.
And maybe it highlights just how terrible Sydney are losing that day. Like really, it was theirs to have and they disgustingly allowed the blight that was the Western Bulldogs 2016 campaign.
Yeah. Also, just on the Basil Zemplis thing, I wasn't actually aware when people were referring to him as the mayor of Perth. I thought it was like people say Cameron Ling is the mayor of
Cameron
Geelong.
And then I was
like, oh, he's actually doing an official welcome. What's going on here? This joke has just gone a bit too far. When did that happen? Like, what are you thinking, people of WA? How did you make him the mayor of Perth?
I remember years ago doing the Comedy Festival Roadshow, and so I did about 4 weeks of...
Well, we were all busy, mate.
I know. You start at the bottom of WA and just work your way up to the top. And I had a joke, and I genuinely really didn't even know what it meant, but it was something along the lines of, and this was like 2002, so this is a long time ago, and it was just like the opening joke I'd come out with, bit of local to kind of get, you know, curry a bit of favour. And it was something along the lines, the joke was something along the lines of, like, you know, in Melbourne we have a word called fuckwit, you know, it's a simple word, but in WA you have this, so fuckwit, you say Basil Zemplis, and the place would go fucking mental, like, and I, you know, have to walk for like 30 seconds because the place is going crazy. And that was like 18 years ago, 19 years ago. And so like fucking now he's built all the way to mayor. And back in 18 years ago, you could get a fucking applause line from saying he's a fuckwit.
Didn't he run on a platform of saying that, you know, coffees will only cost $11 under Basil? And they went, fuck, we are. Yes, I can do local too, mate.
Hey, why don't we bring on a special guest, special friend. He's had a tough night. Will Anderson, how are you, mate?
I also, you know, saw so much Basil yesterday, I'll never be able to have a pesto again. Like, he was in every bit of that fucking day. Like, yeah. Go away. And can I just say this? Like, I am a quiet watcher of a game of football, and, like, Charlie goes to the football with me a fair bit, and he's a yeller. He yells at everybody, like the umpires, the opposition supporters, supporters, pie sellers. Does not matter. Charlie will yell at you at the football. And I'm like, you know, the old 1940s housewife to Charlie's, like, angry dad, and I'm just, like, really quiet and just, like, silently apologise to people when he's got his back turned. And so when I go to, like, Bulldogs games, like, I'm pretty quiet, and often I'll only even cheer and stuff, like, so that I don't look like a weirdo. Like, you know, everybody else is cheering, so I get into the spirit of it so I don't spoil the fun for everybody else. But home alone by myself, like, I just watch in complete silence. There's no yelling at the screen, nothing.
Really?
The only words that came out of my mouth last night, and I swear on my grandmother's, like, grave that this is true, when Bontempelli kicked that goal in the third quarter and BT started talking about how Bontempelli was going to win the Norm Smith medal and be one of the greatest Bulldogs of all time, to no one in my house, I just said, shut the fuck up, BT. And, like, never have I wanted, but I was just like, don't say it, don't. And, yeah, well, and then I went to bed and I assumed we won. So, anyway, good result. Glad to be here.
Well, it's funny. Well, part of me was wondering, because we had talked, you know, before 2016, like, you had never even experienced a grand final. Then the very first grand final you'd experienced was a win. And then I was thinking when the Dogs were up, I was like, holy fuck, like, Will might have this experience of only ever going to winning grand finals. Like, now that you've seen the underside of it, like, can you just take me through the pain? I know the pain real well. I know it real well, but I want to know, like, well, I've seen two nail biters and one drubbing after a draw. What was it like? Did you watch the whole game? When did you switch off? Like, what was your threshold?
No, well,
he's asking as a friend. By the way, as a friend.
Can I just ask firstly, when did why didn't Cody Waitman play?
to be fair to Cody Waitman, Rosie, you've got to say he played like someone who'd had concussion 2 weeks ago and then in the first minute ran into a goalpost.
Yeah, so
I reckon he might not have just not quite known where the ball was on the day, I reckon, for poor Cody.
But how far did you watch the whole thing? Did you switch off? Because, for instance, to give you my example, in 2010, the replay, when it was all over by halftime, I stayed right to the
half-time. Sure, mate.
I think 10 minutes into the first video, I'm more likely.
When people got smothered in the goals.
No, because I think, mate, you do the math.
Your team was shit that day. Fucking learn to deal with it.
You do the math. I was going to say, do you remember John Friedrich, the guy who, like, stole that money and then went on the land? Don't you reckon Michael looks like that was kind of the police sketches of what he looked like? I'm assuming this is meant to be Max Gorn, is it?
Or is it either my tribute to Max Gorn or my tribute to Craig Coombs? We've got to work it out.
Right, okay. Or Dipper.
Best $21 I've ever spent.
It was an interesting game from, like, a supporter's point of view, because obviously they jumped us early and we looked, like, really sketchy and they were ferocious. And, like, so you kind of do that thing of just going, oh, well, it's been a good season. We had a crack. I didn't really think we were going to get here anyway. It's all fine. And then just bit by bit in that second, third quarter, you're just like, hang on, we're catching up to these guys. Hang on, we're in front. We're like in front by 3 goals. And then suddenly you're screaming, shut the fuck up, BT, at the television, and your life's over. Yeah. So it was a real journey. It was quick.
That blitz in the third quarter, like, did you make it through to the last quarter? Did you watch the whole game?
I watched, like, until about halfway through the final quarter from the couch, and then I started. I'm not drinking at the moment, as you know, Charlie, but it turns out that, like, eating a whole tub of gelato is also not a particularly healthy way to deal with your fucking grief, but I did. So I was, by that stage, I was eating a lot of gelato and kind of just half watching in the background going, oh. My thing was like, well, I guess if the Bulldogs have to be there, I have to watch. But I watched with the same enthusiasm they were being there, not very much, just going through the motions.
And how were you feeling yesterday, Will? Like, and I know you talked about on the pod during the build-up, but, you know, were you genuinely confident that they... I mean, I for one, couldn't pick this one. Like, I had no idea. You know, I picked the Ds, but I was, like, maybe doing that for the story as opposed to, you know...
No, I mean, I thought Melbourne were a better team all season. I said to a mate of mine earlier on in the season, I reckon if you had to play a best of three, we'd win one and they'd win two. And, like, we played them 3 times this season and they won 2 and we won 1. So I reckon that's probably right. Like, I think they're a better team. My thing with Charlie has always been that our best players, like, if you look at Norton and, like, Bailey Smith and, like, guys like that, they're all, like, 20, 21. Like, their better seasons are still probably in front of them in those key posts. And if you looked at our across the field, everyone was just going to have their best day. Tim English was going to have the best game he'd ever played. And Shaqie was going to have the best play game he'd ever played. And if all that went right at the same time, I thought we could win, of course, because then you've got all those guns. But I hoped we'd win rather than was particularly convinced that we would.
Is it time to get rid of Adam Treloar because of the bad luck he brings to the club and every club that he's been at?
See, Rosie, you come from the perspective of a Carlton supporter. You've just got to understand as a Bulldog supporter, like, you guys are like, oh, it's terrible, your team lost the grand final. And I'm like, my team made the grand final. Like, I'm wrapped. Like, 5 years ago, like, before 2016, if you'd said to me you can get into the next 5 grand finals, you'll lose them all in humiliating fashion, I'd be like, what contract do I have to sign with the devil to live this beautiful life? Like, second best in, like, a really tough year. Like, we went all over the country to get there. We were in front by 3 goals, you know, like, you know, nearly till the end of it, and then, like, a better team won on the day. I don't feel terrible about it, to be honest. Like, I can, for comedic purposes, for this podcast. Yeah, I will now feel terrible about it, but as a Bulldogs fan, I still think it's a pretty fun year.
And you also look at the stats too. I mean, all the stars kind of made a big game. So Petrarca had 39, Caleb Daniel had 37, which is remarkable. Oliver had 33, Salem 27, then Treloar had 27 as well and kicked 3 goals. Like, Treloar's been amazing this year, I reckon, for you guys.
Yeah, and by the way, Petrarca, I know we'll get to it, but, like, sometimes you just get beaten by... You remember when he said he was going to be a Hall of Famer and we all kind of laughed at him a bit, and then you're like, oh, he was actually being humble. He's going to be better than a Hall of Famer. They're going to come up with a better bit of the Hall that they only let Christian Petrarca hit.
There was a moment during the grand final where Bont and Petrarca were both just blitzing, just lighting up the stadium. And I'm going, so we took Billings in front of Bont and Pelle, McCartan in front of Petrarca. This is great. And a friend of mine actually sent me a text from 2014, a Saints supporter, where we were talking about should we take Petrarca or should we take McCartan? And I said, I think we should take Petrarca because midfielders win grand finals, not full forwards. It's like, God damn it, how the fuck? If I knew it, how could it?
Not full forwards that can't go to the supermarket for 10 minutes without getting confused.
Concussion's a serious injury, Adam. I don't know.
That's very true. Yeah, you're right.
Hey, what do we think of the pre-game entertainer? I really liked it. And the halftime as well.
Pre-game, yes. Halftime, boring. I thought I don't know who the Birds of Tokyo were really. And then my observation was they looked like the Kmart version of Coldplay. They seemed fine.
And as someone pointed out, they didn't show the goddamn sprint, the Colgate bring a smile to your face sprint, and they showed a highlight of it. You can't have a sprint that's in an arc, in the arc of a smile. What the fuck? This integration is ridiculous. You just have a flat, straight line sprint, and that is it.
Can we not combine the sprint and the band playing? Surely, like you could have people running around in a circle while Birds of Tokyo belt out some inspirational song in the background.
No, that I want to know who's the fastest band in Australia. That's what I want to
know. Yeah, I want to see John Butler and Stella Donnelly in a 100-meter smile.
What about if the band sets the tempo for it? So if you've got like King Parrot playing, so the players... So you might start off with a slow track and then they kind of make their way and then King Parrot comes out and they've got to go flat, knacker. Yeah, everyone loves that idea. Good.
You know what I loved? Like it was such 2005, like, I've just left Triple J, like got a lot of big day out sort of like vibe in the music. But my favourite bit, like the Colin Hayes sing-along, you know, where Colin Hayes, like, on a beach, for me, missed the opportunity because you've got Western Australian legends of different eras. And the biggest Western Australian sing-along legend, this is what I wanted to see the crowd at Optus sing-along to. You go to Kalgoorlie. You go to that brothel that has the Kevin Bloody Wilson Memorial Wank Tank out the back. And emerging from that wank tank is Kevin Bloody Wilson, and he just like revs up a bit of rootin' in the back of the ute or do you fuck on first dates.
Yeah.
And everyone sings. Like, John Butler gets involved.
Even better, Will, they should have just driven a ute into the stadium Batmobile and Angry Anderson, and he's just in the back of the ute.
He's in the back of the ute, and someone is actually rooting in the back of the ute.
And what about, just like giant Vegemite sandwiches dancing.
Yeah. What about if you've got Daryl Braithwaite singing Horses, and then you just have all the tradies who've made their way over the West Gate, all across the Nullarbor, march into the stadium and just say, "Don't get vaccinated."
Oh, dude. Hey, should we see if our special guests are around, Adam?
They're all there, mate. They're all there.
Oh, here we go. So let's welcome on to stage. Taz Lucidello, Braden Kemp, very happy Melbourne fan, and Titus O'Reilly, very happy Melbourne fan. Let's see if we can get them on board.
Hello.
G'day, folks. Can you hear us?
Hello. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hey, Taz. How are you, mate? Hey,
great. Well, not great. Terrible, but otherwise great. Yes.
Braden, can we see if you're there? Just talk, Braden.
All right. I gave him permission to unmute, but he didn't take it, so I'll have to give it again. Here we go. It's coming at you, Braden. There you go.
Here we bloody go. Hey. Oh, it's so good to see you all. I love you all. Oh,
here we go. Braden, are you still in quarantine or you were out?
No, I'm in Cairns. We're at the home of AFL.
Yeah.
I've been walking around with my Guernsey on for 2 days, and I could very well be wearing a Chechenian dart team's jersey for all that fucking anyone up here knows, but I'm very happy.
So you actually are in quarantine, or you kind of?
No, I'm doing a TV show. Or? I'm doing a TV show up in Cairns. I did quarantine in Brisbane, and then I've come up here and I'm just hanging out in Cairns now. Watched it by myself. I've just been on the phone to people in Melbourne for 24 hours, pretty much.
Have you watched the replay yet?
I'm watching it as we speak, like legitimately behind you is the Fox footy at, I think it was 4 o'clock, started the next replay. So this is fifth watch for me.
Wow. Where is it up to? Because depending on where it is, I'm interested still.
So this is your time, Will. Yeah. This, it's 16 minutes into the second quarter and you guys look on. I'm started doing meditation recently. It's all about clarity of thought. And I came to the most pure clarity at halfway through the third quarter last night, where we were down by 19 points. Bonds just kicked one. And it was about the time that Will said, "Shut the fuck up, BT. All I could think was, and I was so upset. I thought we're about to lose. I was completely heartbroken. And I thought all I could think was, how the fuck am I going to get out of this Zoom tomorrow? What can I say that's going to make me not be able to go to this? Because I heard about what you did to Dooley. And no, I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, great. And of course, we've also got Titus O'Reilly, a long-time suffering Melbourne supporter. How you going, Titus?
I'm absolutely wonderful. I'm very mindful of last few years Richmond supporters really losing
perspective. You know,
everyone ended up hating them. They too quickly, a bit of success went to their heads, and I think Melbourne supporters like myself are going to avoid that. I mean, I had a really lovely moment last night when, you know, about half hour after the game had finished, I gave the staff some time off and then come up to the living room and had a drink with them. They hadn't been on that floor before, and they were really, it was just a really touching moment. So I also have the game on here. I'm at the 14th minute, 14 minutes to go in the third.
Yeah, and I've got it on Foxtel as well now too.
Yeah, I've watched it about 8 times, and the thing that just gets to me watching the replay is there's just no sign of what's to come. Often in a game, it's sort of, you can see a side started to wrestle back a bit of momentum, or they've started to at least stop the bleeding, or started to, you know, win the stoppages. There's just no sign of that. So I was about as low, you know, as you can be. And I'm just thrilled because there's two things in my life I haven't ticked off before yesterday: a premiership and losing my virginity. And one of them is now ticked off. I'm really happy.
Hey, Titus, I was just wondering, can I take your shtick of being a long-suffering, like, footy fan now? Because the Saints have now inherited the longest drought. And I did see Daniel Cherney wrote that we now hold the VFL record for the two longest droughts and two consecutive eras. Yeah. 85 years since we won our first, and then 55 years since we won our last. So,
well done.
I mean, are you okay if I take that from you?
Well, it's a bit like Taylor Swift and her back catalogue. Like, I could just sell that to you and you could just do Find or Replace, yeah, Demons, great, and Saints. And, you know, you've got eight to 10 years worth of gear there that you don't even need to, you know, change at all.
Yeah, well, I'll use it for the next 20 years, I think, the way our recruiting's gone.
I have to say, I'm feeling completely ripped off here because I was looking, with this podcast, I also was thinking of getting out of it. But I thought, no, it'd be great to turn up to this podcast just to see what Titus O'Reilly looks like when he's actually happy. And he's still acting morose.
But he's wearing a white T-shirt, no collar, which is very strange for a member.
Well, you know, you know what? The weirdest thing I had this, there was two things. One, we had the earthquake this week. But then the other morning I was had Nova breakfast, which I do, and I was listening and a certain Will Anderson was on it. And he said that he hoped the Demons lost because he thought I was much funnier for his own amusement when I was in pain. And I realized I'm in an abusive relationship with Will Anderson.
Funnily enough, sketch comedy is at its best when Melbourne's won a premiership. So it's all, you know, it's all good.
Can we turn our attention to you, Chaz, very quickly, just by the fact, you know, what was your feelings going into the match? Were you confident? Did you think you'd get up?
Look,
how was your week? And also being, like, I mean, I know the grand final's in Perth, but you're a Sydney dude. And so, like, you're a bit separate to that kind of Melbourne build-up as well, you know?
Yeah, although I do tend to come to Melbourne when the Dogs are performing well, not so much in the past. Although 2016, I was there for that. I was very happy with that. Look, the bottom line is, I didn't think we were favourites by any stretch of the imagination. I thought it was at best a 50-50. And look, if we're being honest, this really wasn't our year. Like, and we'd already kind of pinched a flag when we weren't the best team in it. And I feel like pinching two flags when you're not the best team in it, that's a bit greedy. Like we really did it tough to get there, and I was kind of proud that we got there in the first place. I know. I kind of started following the Dogs because they were the underdogs. And if we started becoming a genuinely successful team, winning lots of premierships, I'd have to follow Carlton. But I didn't want to do that.
We're back, mate. We've got Fosse. Come on board.
Yeah, now look, it was like Will said, it was the fact you got hope halfway through the third quarter. You know, I mean, when Caleb Daniel is monstering Max Gawn, you're thinking, this might be our day.
Can we talk about that moment? Because it looked like Max put a fair bit of sauce on that, right? Like, I think there was a little bit of contact, but that, look, I'm an actor and I know acting. And that was some pretty bad acting by Maxie there. I mean, he picked the wrong guy, especially to try and pull off that maneuver with.
Yeah, I suspect if the Demons had lost that game, we'd be hearing a lot more about that incident for the next 10 years.
He's no Bontempelli in the Amy ad for sure.
Did you guys hear the story about Stephen May and that the medical staff actually told him, well, kept information from him about how bad his hamstring was? Did you guys see that?
No.
So it's one of the fitness advisors. He said he had a rather bad tear, and he said he felt it in about the second quarter when he bent down to pick up the ball. But the medical advisors actually kept the info about how bad it was from him, so that he.
And so, what did they know. Did they not tell his brain? And they said it's not happening. He's like, "Fuck, my brain's telling me I'm really sore down."
Yeah, they said go and have a few drinks while you're injured.
Are you saying the medical staff were gaslighting Stephen May? Oh, you're fine, mate. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Yeah. What are you talking about?
It feels sore. Like a clear breach of the rules, I'm hearing. They might have to overturn the entire result.
Yeah, sure. Cyber Ninjas are going to do a recount. So then, Broden and Titus, come tell us about your day yesterday. Like, you know, when you get up, I found the wait to 7:15 so painful the whole day.
Yeah, I was a nightmare. I woke up and decided to just go for the longest walk I possibly could. And then I was like, then I'll get a coffee. Then I'll go for another walk. And then I looked at my clock and it was 8 a.m. And great, and only 12 hours to go. So I was at absolute hell. Titus and I were actually back and forthing all day. It was utter hell.
Yeah, I hate the night grand final because I hated it last year because it just sucks everything out before you even get to it. But when your own team's in it, as a lot of people on this call know, it just seems like the longest. And I had gone from waking up in an okay mood to convincing myself and quite a few other D supporters that we were just going to be absolutely get belted because I was never.
Should they have had the first quarter at like 2 o'clock? Then the second one at 4, then at 6. Yeah. Like spread it out. So it's day, twilight, night.
I was extremely thankful that the longest kick on Fox Footy was available for all of us to watch. Just fantastic content.
Oh, yeah, the 8-hour lead-in of listening to the Fox Footy pundits talk. Just exactly what I needed, you know, that you just hear some high-level intelligent discussion go on and on and on. But Broden and I were working each other up. We were talking, because the one thing I found in the coverage, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but in the coverage, the thing I couldn't believe in all the media analysis and tipping and everything is the Bulldogs had beaten us the last time we'd played and people were acting like we were sure things. And so that panicked me like nothing else. So by the time the thing came around, I was terrible. But by sort of 10 minutes into the third quarter, I was absolutely convinced we were done. I was sitting there just so morose.
But you look done. You're like, it really generally is like how far Bulldogs at that point.
Yeah, not since Labor tried to take away our franking credits have I been.
I mean, the more that I'm hearing you guys talk about this, I'm feeling okay because the thing is, I've got like one whole grand final I like watching, and I've got like
a quarter, you
know, two thirds of a grand final that I quite like watching, so it's fine.
Well, that was
the thing. Brent Hurst, what are you guys like sitting on the couch? Are you yelling at the TV?
It's been a real point of contention between me and my partner. I've gone through a few coffee tables in my time.
After wrestling.
I'm an absolute shocker. Like, just irrational.
Well, haven't you gone through all the coffee tables because you refuse to use a coaster?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what we're talking about, right?
I tell you what, I was first quarter, I was standing up, you know, I couldn't sit down. I was cheering everything. Then the second quarter, I was just nervously pacing. Third quarter, up until that last 10 minutes, lying flat on the couch and just thinking, yeah. And the worst thing is I couldn't watch it with anyone. Not because of the restrictions, just everyone said they didn't want to hang out with me. There was that few minutes where Fritsch got a goal then suddenly we started first and Jackson went into the ruck. And I've rarely seen any game just turn that quickly, you know, where Bontempelli terrifies me at the best of times. I mean, he's just... He has burnt Melbourne. He is such a great player. The only thing that the only bad side of all of this is I know a lot of Bulldogs fans and like them, and I like the Bulldogs as a club. So I actually really like the prelim because beating Geelong was just so much more fun because you know, that was just the best.
Yeah. When Titus says he likes and knows them, what he means is he employs them to do household chores.
Some of the best cleaners I've ever had.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like every Bulldogs fan I know feels like a character from Jack Irish, just like this real rusted on beautiful bloke down by the pub. And oh, I was there in 50. See, I feel so bad beating them.
Can I tell you guys? No, it's not a stat podcast, but can I tell you the most amazing stat? I am a stat person. The most amazing stat I saw about the grand final. Yeah, you know, after the turn.
How many times Bailey Williams dropped the footy?
Don't even get me started. Well, you know, Cal Daniel actually equaled the finals record for the most unforced turnovers ever. 5.
Really?
Yeah. Like he had 26 possessions at halftime, but they're all unforced turnovers. Anyway, and that was because Dale and Williams both shat the bed and it all went through him. But anyway, the most amazing stat for me was between the halfway point of the third quarter and the end of the third quarter, when Petrarca was just tearing us a new one, do you know the Bulldogs won the hitouts? 7-6. Petrarca just got the ball and just went.
That was their tactic. We just weren't used to that. We were just like, we don't know what to do in this situation.
Oh God. Has anyone seen Christian Petrarca actually be brought down in a tackle? Because I saw people lay tackles on him and he just stands up and waits for them to let go.
Not even a cash converters. They couldn't bring him down there. Like he just, when he's got a PlayStation in his hand, he moves so smoothly.
So we put it up on the pod in the past, but Rosie actually has a bit of a past with Petrarca. Just looked at the Fox Footy replay. It's 7 minutes left in the second quarter. The Dogs are 2 points up. I think, Chaz, Will, you might get this one. But Rosie, you got a bit of a history with Petrarca. Did you actually ever meet him when you wrote the cash converters ad for it?
No, I didn't have to go down there, but I got in Christian's mind and thought, what would he do when he was being paid a shit ton of money to be in a cash converters? And I wrote a great script.
Did you legitimately write that?
Yes, yeah.
If only
Donna need anything, mate, just give me a yell.
I was going to say, because I wrote a football ad that's been on KO all year.
Did you?
The famous Rusty and Dusty series was my doing.
Oh, so what's that one? I haven't got chaos.
It's Brett Blake as Rusty, Dustin Martin's cousin, is he, or his brother?
Oh, they're twin brothers, Will. Twin I'm sorry that didn't get come sorry, across mate. Clear enough in the script.
I haven't been paying enough attention.
The DeVito Schwarzenegger thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No wonder you ended up with a Netflix show after seeing that, Broden.
I ate lunch across from Christian Petrarca earlier this year, and I observed he has a tattoo on his calf of a Nike sneaker. Has anyone else seen this?
Yeah, well, I think the Bulldogs midfield saw that a lot.
I'm just looking at the footage now, trying to work out if he goes on screen, if he is the socks up or socks down kind of guy.
Well, he's a Titus, like a socks down.
Titus, don't you have an RM Williams tattooed on the back of your calf?
Princess Margaret.
Exclusive sponsorship.
And Chaz, I think you made a mistake before when you said that Titus is not all, like, you know, relaxed today. No, the more that he's warming into this, the more that white t-shirt, just that relaxed back on the couch. Like this is the equivalent of Titus Brendan Favola on Mad Monday style.
Yeah.
This is dildo time. Yeah, this is as full on as I get. But the real thing that I'm most surprised at is I'm genuinely in shock. Like it's...
Has it sunk in?
Yeah, it hasn't sunk in at all. I've had a busy day on the phone. That's the only thing that I actually rang Jay Allen, who is Gillan McLaughlin's media advisor, who I've known for a long time. He rang me. He was still in Perth. He's heading back tomorrow. And he rang me and said, well done and everything. And he had Gil in the car with him. So I said to Gil, I just want, can you thank your script writers? Because that was the greatest season you've ever organized. Because I know it's fixed.
Has there been any vision of like planter boxes being ripped up in Malvern or Bentley's being gently nudged and stuff?
Yeah, no. I did love because Melbourne won, there was just no one went out on the street.
Yeah.
I mean, the Melbourne club and the Australia club was absolutely pumping last night.
Yeah.
They've broken all kind of COVID laws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, they tried to walk out into the streets, but they couldn't leave their estates. They're so large.
Yeah, some people kind of watch the show Succession and go, oh, that's about my family.
Yeah. It got so wild at the Melbourne Club, they let a woman in. That's how much they'll party.
It was a very unfortunate moment, I have to say.
Can I actually ask you guys, Chaz, Broden and Todd, it's like, I don't actually talk about this on Pod before, but like, how did you actually become supporters of your club?
It took me a little while because, as I said, I'm from Sydney and I didn't even understand how the game worked for the first 2 years because all I had was the commentary from Channel 7 to teach me, and that's not very educational.
you knew which private school everyone went to.
Yeah, you had to stick out the Dukes if you need to grab the ball, right? Yeah.
I didn't know. Interrupting Daisy Pierce is part of the rules, is it?
I
don't know much about the game, but I know which of these players have basketball backgrounds. Yeah. That's what I do.
Yearbook quote was boy, oh boy, wow, wait.
being a Sydney-based AFL supporter, I did learn very early on, though, when you leave the game and you're losing, which is about halfway through the second quarter for the Sydney Swans at that point in time in the early 90s. But I didn't really have a team for the first few years. But then I kind of started with West Coast, kind of, just because they weren't Melbourne and I was from Sydney. But then I realised that they were kind of like the evil empire. After about 994, I realized actually they were the bad guys.
Fun evil empire, Chaz. Got to stop you there. I don't remember Darth Vader doing fucking lines.
Yeah, that is true. This was the early 90s, though, when they were all kind of robots. So I was just looking for an underdog. And at that point in time, it was kind of Footscray or Fitzroy.
Yeah.
And Fitzroy looked like they were checking out pretty soon. So I picked Footscray. Yeah, and we're kind of turning around, kind of, except for 20 minutes yesterday. Yes.
And how about you, Braden?
My granddad.
The background with your granddad and your dad at the MCG.
Yeah, my granddad, Pat Kelly, worked in the Melbourne Cricket Club on the long room doors until he died. So it was like from the Olympics until he passed. Yeah, he was a shocking employee as well. He used to swear and carry on. But then when I was so Melbourne was kind of, from the start, and I've been with him through all the misery. And then when I was 18, my first job was to go and work on the doors. And I was not the right, like, imagine being at the footy with your mates, being 30 and watching and carrying on, and then having 18-year-old me walk up to you and go, I want to see waters in between them frothies from now on, mate. Because it was legitimately my job. And I'd go to drama school all week and do, like, monologues and interpretive dance, and then come back on the week and go, where's your collar, young fella? very, very rusted on Melbourne family.
I actually wrote down a quote from you guys when you were on the pod. So if you look up the archives, round 14, 2019. Okay, so I wrote down this transcript. Broden, the worst people are in the MCC, and I've been waiting like 10 years to say something on a platform. The worst pricks are in the MCC. Fuck, that's everything I've ever said on this podcast. I love it. Michael, so you signed up to become a member? Broden. Yeah, I'm a member. I've been a member for 15 years.
and in fairness, I hadn't really met Titus at that time, so I am sorry about that. But, you know, they are the worst people. And this is pre the cheese board photo got out. This is, I think we have pretty bad fans. I think we get underrated at how bad our fans are. I know there are a lot here, but statistics. Yeah. The ones in the members, at least.
When is COVID going to sweep through there? Because I really need to fucking improve my membership. Like,
reckon you're like two years away. Like, I think I signed you up in like 204. So you're not far away, mate. And then all of your members' jokes that you've fucking thrown at me for the last 8 years,
No, but I can do them from the inside. It's better that way, you know.
Michael, can I just ask you to adjust that? A, I think it's too tight because your face looks like it's getting very red. But B, can you just adjust it so the opening is over your mouth so we can hear you properly?
Is that okay? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, that's better. Thank you.
I'm getting the hair in my mouth. Oh, good. And how did you become a Melbourne fan?
Well, I grew up, my dad was head of the VFA, so we were a VFA
family. No way.
Huh. And he'd say, oh, no, the VFL's no good. And so I grew up at a very young age thinking the VFA was the supreme.
Who was your league. VFA team?
It was.
My team was Williamstown. This was before there was any link to so. Barry Round and Alan Rickman and
Mark Philippoussis.
Dane Swan's dad, Billy Swan. Yeah. And so we'd go to that every week. I'd go to about five VFA games every weekend, and it was rough as anything. And it was great football in a way back then, but I had no real concept of, and dad didn't have an AFL team because he's Irish. He came out from Ireland. So when I was quite young, the neighbour behind me had a son. And they were a mad Melbourne family and were actually part of a sort of a supporter group called the Eastern Demons. So they said, would you like to come to a Melbourne game? And I said, oh, okay. And I went, it was Collingwood versus Melbourne, full MCG. And I went there and came home and said to Dad, okay, why have you never told me? There's 40 games with more than 1,000 people there.
Yeah. And a windswept Williamstown Oval.
Yeah, like, you know, there's actually, the standard is, you know, about 20 times higher.
Yeah.
And so the guy behind me, because I was friends with his son, he said, you can come to any game with us you want. And they literally went to everything. Like, we'd go down to Cardinia Park. And so from then on, I was just, poor dad had to go to the VFA by himself. And I'd be at every Melbourne game ever since. Then at first we were okay, and I thought, well, I had no context of the history that I was being, you know, that I was sort of semi-willingly signing up.
So are you talking kind
of, is this in the 80s?
The 80s?
Yeah, sort of mid to late 80s. And then it just, you know, and then even we had a good trot there for a while. And when we lost to Hawthorn in the 88 grand final, I was even like, well, you know, this is the beginning of something.
Yeah. Did you go to that game?
I didn't go to it. We did watch it, but it was certainly, I couldn't get a ticket.
Yeah.
I wasn't as connected as now.
I was at that game too. That's where I saw my first ever naked lady. It was a streaker in front of me.
Yeah. Well, the first grand final I've
ever won. And Adam's one and done, by the way.
The first one I ever went to was the 1990 Collingwood victory. Yeah. That was the first grand final I ever went to, and I saw some things that day that was absolutely amazing. That was when the Southern Stand was being built and didn't have a roof, and then I've been a fanatic ever since, and it's been it's all been worth it. But I couldn't say that yesterday.
Yeah,
I was going to ask, like Broden and Titus, when the Doggies won in 2016, and I was talking to Will about it, and just trying to get a grasp of what it's like, what it's like to experience it. And Will said something along the lines of, well, he's topped up now. He reckons at least they could go another 20 years and not see one, but he reckons he's been topped up. I know it's hard because you're in the afterglow, but do you feel topped up? Do you feel like you could sort of go again without seeing one for a while and that's okay because you saw that one?
Right now, I think lifetime. I don't need to see another one. I that was my deal yesterday, and I'd be happy if I never saw one again. Yeah, that's how I feel today.
Yeah, I worked at the 2016 grand final and sat next to this lady who was 73 years old, Bulldogs fanatic, and she was there by herself. Her husband had passed away, and she didn't have anyone to go with. And so I ended up sitting next to her. We're dating now. But anyway, we...
Is that the same woman that Adam saw naked?
Yeah. But sitting next to her and watching, like, I said it's about halfway through the fourth quarter, you've got this. And she was like,
Shut the fuck up, mate.
Yeah.
Well, no, she was sort of like, she was almost like holding my hand and going, do you really think so? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And she's like, oh. And so seeing it there, I always wondered what it was. But last night, it was different because you weren't there and you weren't able to celebrate with everyone afterwards.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah. So I really want to see one live. Mm. But that all said, just there's something about not dying without seeing one. You know, like that you just, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That used to, it's amazing how much that would weigh on my mind that all this was for absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Like, so really that, did.
So that's what Tyler sounds like when he's happy. He talks about death.
Yeah. Yeah, I die now.
Mortality.
Well, I still, look at me. I'm not lasting long. You all know this. So.
I have the footy record. My dad was at the 66 grand final and I have that footy record and I look at it and I'm like, this is like, you know, he got to see one flag before he died, but the clock's ticking, man. Like my dad died when he was in his late 50s. So I've got like less than 20 years to get a flag. So the pressure is on and I do feel like it'll be a waste of time. Like, it's hard to explain to my wife, who doesn't really follow football, why I've dedicated so much time to this thing that has never, ever brought me any joy. Like, even Adam can, like, point back to the Blues of, what, 25, 26 years ago and say, yeah, we got that. I don't even have that in my lifetime.
And people say, well, it's the friendships you make along the way, but that's not true. It's friendships.
I'd say this genuinely. I have never felt so... such unbridled happiness as the last 24 hours, like I just with no connections or strings attached to it. I'm just so happy.
Wow.
Mm. And I'm just looking at the Foxtel replay now. So the halftime, the Dogs are 47-39. So Chaz and Will, I think you're a real chance.
Yeah.
I love live score updates for a Foxtel replay.
You know, the worst thing was about halfway through the final quarter was knowing that you had to be a bigger man. Like, so I said, that was when I started sending off my congratulations text messages to people. And I was, my heart wasn't in it. Like, I wasn't over it. I really was like keeping them real short. Like, you know, Charlie Cameron on Twitter, like brevity of words. Yeah. And it was, so anyway, I probably should have put my glasses on because UK comedian Russell Howard sent me a message going, what the fuck are you talking about? Because I meant to send one to Russell Howcroft. So he got this message of me going, fuck me. They're too good. Fuck Christian Petrarca. And he's just like, I don't really know what this means.
I wonder if Billy Brownless fired one off to Gary Lyon just to go.
I don't know. I've watched the footage a few times. And when Gary went to pick up the cup, I don't know if you saw on the footage, but there was a wallet.
Is it?
He was like, whoa.
Which one?
Do I touch? Which one?
I was going to say, I was the direct opposite of Will, actually, in that I love sending off the congratulatory text during the fourth quarter because it was a great distraction from watching the football. So I spent the entire quarter just sending texts to anyone I possibly could. It's only vague, even Geelong supporters, Saints support, doesn't matter. Everyone who's at all in my text file just got a text for the entire quarter. I just couldn't text enough.
And I hate to bring up bad memories, Chaz and Will and stuff, but I think we've all experienced this in our lifetimes. Like that moment on the Sunday morning when you wake up and you go, you're kind of getting out of your haze and you go, oh, we lost the grand final. Like it's the worst feeling in the world, isn't it?
Last night, because my partner, she's got no interest in football, but she like has a passing interest in me. So she was trying to like in her way, you know, because she doesn't really understand the game. She goes, well, they've always been shit. So we're just shit again today. And I was like, well, that is kind of true. That is some wisdom of that. And she goes, why don't you just start barracking for the team that won? I was like, that's not how it works. But I had, you know, got a little care package from Willie Rioli yesterday for the game. And so, like, last night, I was pretty chill about the whole situation. I was like, you know what? I'll just go to bed.
Yeah. I spent the evening with Chad Fletcher, so I'm a bit I haven't slept. But
yeah, this morning when I woke up and realised, oh, I'm going to have to delete a lot of podcasts from my feed this week.
Yeah.
But for me, it made me feel a little bit better to think about the winners of the situation, which were, of course, 36 short Jim, Alistair Clarkson's friends.
He's been following that all week, hasn't he? Interview. Yeah.
That was the big winner.
He's turned corporate shill, hasn't he, all of a sudden? Selling the gin. He's gone from, he's like on, you know what would actually be worse than being Carlton coach? Than selling my mate's gin.
Like, honestly, every interview he does, he'll answer one question about who he thinks is going to win, one question about whether he's going to coach Carlton, and then answer one question for 8 minutes about gin.
That's why it fell apart at Carlton, because he went in for an interview and he had two questions. Just wanted to talk about gin.
We would have made him a gin ambassador in a heartbeat. An extra couple of mil.
Yeah. Hey, we'll wrap it up shortly, but maybe I can ask our Footscray friends and our Melbourne friends, like, where do you see it going next year? Like, where do you see it going next? I mean, I know from my personal experience, like, when my team loses the grand final, they then go and win the next three. How do you might see it for the Bulldogs or for Melbourne? We'll start with you, Broden. How do you see the future?
Consuming all the media that's currently available, so Offsiders and the Sunday Footy Show and a couple of podcasts, I've been informed that we're about to start a dynasty. That will be exciting to watch over the next few years.
How about you, Titus?
I'm still very much in the recalibrating my brain to understand what's even going on. I mean, considering how bad we've been and just the depths to win one, I mean, I'm not getting greedy yet. I mean, my two biggest aim this year is win a premiership and leave my house. And I've done that. I'm going to get to the second one soon. So, I mean, the idea of winning another one and another one, I mean, we all know this, everyone on the court except for Michael being a Hawthorn supporter, is it's really hard to win a grand final. So, I'm just soaking in this one. And if we win two or three, I mean, Melbourne supporters are going to be the worst people in the world.
Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine the heel turn?
Yeah.
It was funny how quickly we began to hate Richmond. And it was like, they've been in the wilderness for 37 years. And then all of a sudden they went to like two flags. And we're like, oh fucking Richmond had it too good.
Yeah. Like our stereotype already is we're rich, we are alpine enthusiasts, and we love cheese. And so you add and win all the time to that. And we will be the most hated people on the planet. We will make the Taliban seem popular. So,
do you feel that Mark Neild hasn't got the kudos he deserves for starting this all?
For the build?
Hey, Paul Ruse replied to my DM today. I DM'd Paul Ruse like enough. I said, thank you so much for everything you've done. I love you so much. You're the best. And guess what he wrote back?
Who is
Thanks.
This?
You'll be getting an invoice for $20,000.
Hey, maybe we could hear from a special guest.
Yeah, I've got a call coming through now. I might
have
just,
you got a call coming through. Okay, yeah, sure. I'll see if I just duck out for a second before we wrap up.
Oh. Oh, bonjour. It is me, the little Frenchman, Marc Lacroix.
Marc Lacroix, everybody. Amazing.
Wow.
Wonderful game yesterday, the Bulldogs and the Demons put on. Now, I have some observations. I hope you mind. This time, I've actually written some things down rather than going off the cuff. Didn't work out so well last year, so I thought maybe I'll just go. I have some observations, if you'll indulge me.
Yeah, Titus, Titus, by the way, just please sit back and see how a real professional does this.
Oh, shit. Sorry, I don't know what happened there. Now, Will, I am so sorry. Commiserations about your Bulldogs. Friends in the Bulldogs. We have a lot in common. The red, white, and blue, obviously. The cultural diversity. And a complete capitulation when things get But I like a lot of the Bulldogs players. I like Caleb Daniel, as I like to call him, Petit Monsieur. What was he doing with Max Gonzo? Totally terrible. I thought, come on, this is not David. Sorry, I forget what accent I'm doing sometimes. This is not David. It's Caleb. Anyway, moving on. I'd like to suggest some changes, or Will, for 2022. First of all, the Bulldogs. It's an English scumbag dog. Why not the French Bulldogs?
Secondly, LeBonte. Can we rename him LeBonte? Thirdly, Bailey Smith. Can he change his name to Eiffel Tower? Because when I go to his Instagram, I like to get an eyeful of his tower.
Oh, my God.
Is this written? Is that what you're saying? As opposed to last year.
Now we're going to the demons. Brother and Titus, congratulations. Viva la demons. They dominated the 50-meter arc to triumph. Finally, the demons can enjoy their fromage platters. 57 years without a flag. That is a kind of existential pain that only a Frenchman can understand. They broke their doubt as easily as your government breaks submarine contracts.
Oh, political.
Yeah, topical.
Marcus, proud, getting political.
Before I say au revoir, can I just say that halftime entertainment was mild. Absolute mild. What is wrong with a bit of mime? Huh? What is wrong with the birds of Tokyo doing a bit of Edith Piaf? Basil Zemkis. That son of a bitch. Nothing more to say about him. And finally, Cody Waitman, Cosy Pickett. That is proof that Mark Le Dozen is still the greatest small forward to have ever played the game. And now I must go. I must bid you a fond adieu. Longe in a great area. Longe in a great area.
Oh, Mark LaCroix, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
You know why I stopped going for West Coast.
What did I do?
Can I just say that, you know, Broden, like a world-renowned, you know, sketch comedy genius, to have to watch that must feel like when the AFL players watch the little league kids play. That's what it was.
No, I was real cute, mate. No, good stuff, Charlie. Good on you, mate.
Like I should be putting a medal around your neck.
Folks, I think on that note, we should hit the road. We want to send our love to Broden, to Titus. Enjoy your glory. Our commiserations to Will and to Chaz. And to Charlie, you're never going to see one. And to Adam,
mate, in Voss we trust, mate. In Voss we trust.
Thank you so much, everybody, joining us. We'll hit the road. Hey, why don't we, Titus and Broden, why don't we get a bit of the old song going, hey? I got the lyrics up here. How about I lead you in? Here we go.
This will be great.
One, two, three. It's a grand old flag.
It's a high flying flag.
Jesus Christ.
The emblem for me and for you.
I'd hang up now if I was you.
It's the emblem of the love. The red and the blue. Every heart beats true for the red and the blue as we sing the song to you. Should old acquaintance be forgot, keep your eye on the red and the blue.
See you, folks. Thanks for joining us. Very kind of you.
Bye, geez.
We are two guys, one car.